Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album, is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
I was trying to tie some threads together for this weekend. We've got Remembrance Day today, where we're remembering those who have fallen, gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, and then those who survived and who are vets today. And we are so honoring and thankful to God for all of these great men and women who served in the armed forces and have brought a victory that we enjoy the shelter of every day of our lives. And so trying to bring that together, I was thinking, you know, that there was a war that all of these people were involved in. However, there still is a war. And the war for the souls of Australians is not yet over. And you and I are engaged in that war. And I want to talk about that here today, about how that you and I can fight the good fight of faith. And this is what we're talking about, faith. It's a series on faith. In this particular day, as we're thinking about worship as well, I think that plays into our warfare. So that never underestimate the power of praise as being a weapon in your life to defeat the enemy and to hold you in a place of victory in Jesus' name. Yeah, go ahead. So Ephesians 3, 16, can you say this with me? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, would you, here this morning? Take a praise break and clap your hands, all you people, the Bible says. And shout to God with a voice of triumph. Oh, I'm excited this morning. Yeah, thank you very much, musicians and singers. We'll get you back towards the end of the service. So I had two messages that I was going to bring this morning. I spoke one in chapel last week, but we had a guest here in the 10 a.m., so I was going to speak that one here this morning. However, during the week, I got into some Bible study, as I normally do, and found myself getting pretty impacted by a particular way of God, one of His traits, one of His dealings, one of the methods that God uses in dealing with us here on earth. And so I've called this backfire. And everybody say backfire. That's actually one of the ways that God uses to defeat enemies of the kingdom of God, enemies of His people. In fact, the Bible has a whole range of strategies where God causes the enemy's plans to completely backfire on them. When Joseph was sold by his brothers to go off and be a slave in Egypt, and went through hell for many, many years, went to prison, was betrayed, was accused falsely, went through all kinds of things that would have made any one of us feel a little bitter and upset with life and maybe even with God that He had let all this happen. However, Joseph didn't. He kept a pure heart and kept an innocent spirit. And finally, when all of his family came to him, he'd become the prince of Egypt and he was ruling over everything. When finally his family came to him and recognized him, he said to them, "Look, I know you meant it for evil to me. You hated me, you wanted me dead. You sold me as a slave. I know you meant it for evil. However, God meant it for good, and your plans have backfired." Amen. They have completely swung around and done you more damage in the... Well, actually, he was able to bless them because of that fact. There's another story in the book of Esther. It's too complicated and long to talk about it, but where a really evil guy creates some gallows to hang his Jewish opponent on. He wanted to hang and he hated him so much because he wouldn't show him the due honor whenever he walked by him. And in fact, he decided he would wipe out the entire Jewish nation who were throughout the entire world because of this guy. But in the end, everything backfires for that poor guy and he gets hung on his own gallows. God has just got a way of defeating things that are trying to defeat you. If you will walk with him and talk with him and stay in touch with the Father, he's got a way of allowing the devil to have just enough rope so that he'll hang himself. The devil just gets too overconfident. He thinks, yeah, I've just managed to bring the most crushing defeat on the Messiah, called himself the Son of God. But by the very death of Jesus, the devil's power was completely neutralized. It backfired on him utterly. There are proverbs that say a person who rolls a stone on another, it'll roll back on them, et cetera, et cetera. But this story I find absolutely astonishing. Exodus 14:1, it's a long scripture. I'll take my time getting through it, but we'll get there pretty quickly. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak now to the children of Israel, that they may turn and camp before that place, between Migdal and the sea, opposite that place. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in." They don't know what they're doing, these Christians. They don't know what they're doing, these people of God. They got no idea. They're trying to get out of this bondage, their past, but they found themselves in a cul-de-sac. They found themselves trapped in. And I know the geography around this place. They got a Red Sea in front of them. They got a desert to the south, the mountains to the north of them, and they got an army of chariots right behind them. These guys, we've got them. And that's exactly what God wanted the king of Egypt to think. In verse 3, it says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them." I don't know if you've ever felt like the past is catching up with you. That's a bad feeling, right? You're walking on foot and it feels like the past has got a lot more power. They got chariots, they got wheels, they got horses, they got soldiers. All that condemnation riding down on you because of what happened in the past. All that stuff you worry about, the relationships that broke down, here they come, chariot wheels thundering up behind you. 600 of them. It's not just one. It's like the whole lot. And you're in a moment of deep anxiety because you're on foot and they're on wheels. And you know they're going to ride a lot faster than you can walk or run. That you are crushed by this thing, whatever it is, coming up from the past that used to hold you tight. But now you've managed to somehow get out of its grip. But it'll always come to try and get you back. Don't think that that enslavement thing, that addiction thing, or that horror story or that past is just going to sit down and say, "Oh, gee, we lost them." The devil wants to get back what he feels has been taken from him. And let me tell you this, God is definitely into recovery. He is definitely into restoration. The other half of this message is called backfire and catch up. And God has a way of helping you catch up years that got lost while you're down in Egypt in enslavement. You feel like I've wasted my life. I've lost out. Listen to me. You can get back what you lost. That's what God does. He is a recoverer of years. You're told in the book of Joel that the years that this worm has eaten up your harvests, I'm going to recover them to you. So in one year, they had seven times worth of the harvest that they'd had before. Listen to me, you serve a good God. God is not about to just say, well, we just got to count our losses and kiss them goodbye and let's try and muddle through the rest of your life. He says, whatever the devil has stolen from you, I'm going to return it seven times. I'm going to bring it back into your life. I'm not going to leave you bereft. And do you think my redemption is just to do with spiritual things? I'm going to bring it into every aspect of your entire life. And so catch up is a very real thing. Whatever it was part of the law of the Old Testament, if a thief stole something, he had to restore it plus multiplied times, either four or seven times. And so God has applied that in a supernatural world as well, where things have come into your life and stolen from you years, or stolen from you rights and privileges, or stolen from you resources, stolen from you health, stolen from you emotional energy, stolen from you enthusiasm. Oh, you got to get that back. If you don't get anything else back, get the fire back on the inside of your soul. Get some enthusiasm back. If he came along and poured water on your enthusiasm, you gotta reach out and get it back. If you're not one of the people shouting amen and singing in this service this morning, then before the end of the service, I want the Holy Spirit to come on you with fire, with power, with enthusiasm, with fresh life. Life is like a big ATM machine. You can't get out what you didn't put in. And when you get into it, something comes back at you. You go to the gym for an hour, it feels like you got wasted, but you get energy out of that. You get energy because you put something in. And we avoid sometimes the investment part because we just want to get. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It's like, I don't want to go through the pain of actually getting that result in my life. And isn't it just going to happen to me? No, you got to get into it. Be part of the miracle. Be part of what's going on. And God will bring, he will bring back into your life things that got lost, things that you feel can never be recovered, things that you feel are impossible. But with God, nothing, friend, nothing is impossible. With God, is anything too hard for the Lord? He can do stuff you've never even dreamed was possible. And so this was one of those moments where it seemed like it was not possible that anything could come about that could set these Israelites free. And you need to know, when you start to get free from whatever, the grip will tighten. Whenever you start a new discipline or like you try fasting. I mean, you've gone for a whole day before without food, but by, you just said, I'm going to go fasting. By morning tea, you feel like having a chicken, a whole roast, Charlie, chilled, grade, child, whatever you call them, chicken. You're going to go on a diet. The cheesecake grows legs, walks out on the bench. Seductive little things and eat me, you know, like you suddenly you're going to give up something and it tightens. Friends will even come along, blow smoke in your face, whatever. And yeah, you can't give that up. But here it is. The grip tightened on the Israelites as they got free. And they're thinking, man, are we just going to go all the way back into where we've been? The most miserable thought a person can ever have. Am I trapped forever? Is this it? Am I just going to be drawn back to that miserable life I'm so sick of? That feelings, those depressions, those emotions. I don't want to go back there. And it can be a nervous, fearful moment. But you need to know there is a God on your side. And if God is for you, who can be against you? He's got plans, and they're called backfire. Whatever the enemy has planned, it's going to backfire on you. And he never seems to learn his lesson, so we're in good shape. Amen. God is going to actually cause it all to backfire. Amen. So it says, when verse 10, Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, the Egyptians marched after them. So they're very afraid, very afraid. The Israelites weren't your most crash-hot crowd. They weren't like, yeah, we believe. Woo, praise God. They were moaning. What are you brought us down here for? We could have died in Egypt easier. Oh, we're hungry for the onions and the garlics and the leeks. Please take us back. A miserable bunch right at this stage. It's by grace that God does this for us. I mean, we should be believers. We should be people who have faith and keep a discreet language and have excellence of speech. However, even in spite of this crowd not being the most faith-filled and fearless group of believers, God was still going to move on them and help them. And listen to me, if you've got Jesus Christ in your life, you're in covenant with the God of heaven and earth, because he is the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself is the entire new covenant. And when he's in your life, you have a covenant with the Almighty God in heaven that he's going to do these sorts of things in your world by the grace of God. And then it says in verse 13, Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. There are some things that are going to be dealt with permanently in your life, friend. Some things that God can deal with and are gone, not just for a moment, not just for a phase, but forever and ever and ever, never to be seen again. And then in verse 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Just be quiet, people. If you want me to fight for you, please don't talk all that negative stuff. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. There's a time to pray and a time to move. And this was this time. But lift up your rod, stretch your hand out of the sea, divide it. Children of Israel should go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Lord called the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night. So it wasn't just like Moses going boom, and like the computer graphics would have you believe in movies. This wind just started blowing all night, and gradually it was parted and the wall stood up as a heap on either side. God's not in a hurry. Somebody asked me this morning, why was the linen cloth folded in Jesus' tomb? I said, because he wasn't in a hurry. He makes his bed. Rises from the dead. Now I'll make my bed. Put that over there. I just walk out. Hey, guys, how are you? It looks like the gardener, for goodness sake. God's just blowing the wind, parts. And then, you know, because sometimes I think God does miracles in such a way that there's always enough room for a bit of doubt. So faith is a choice. It's not forced on you. And so here, they're looking at this wind blowing and it's making the pathway in a Red Sea. So then in verse 22, so the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea on the dry ground. Waters were a wall to them on the right hand and the left. And the Egyptians pursued. You're in the middle of a miracle, the greatest miracle you've ever experienced in your whole life, and the enemy is right there at your heels. He's in the middle of your miracle. How can he be here? I'm having a miracle from God and still I've got all this mess trying to catch up with me and bring me down. Okay, so here it is. It says, now it came to pass, verse 24, in the morning watch, the Lord looked down, saw them, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Verse 25, baby, he took off their chariot wheels. You gotta love it. James called his Bible this morning, I'm reading out of my Bible. I said, I like that. He thought it was a mistake. But this book is alive, people. It's alive enough to take off the wheels. The wheels are gonna fall off the plans of the enemy, people. Whatever wheels, whatever motion it's got, they're coming off. He just loosened the nuts. Whatever nuts you've got in your past, he can set you free from those things. So these wheels, baby, they're off. They're going nowhere. They're now stuck. Now listen to me, you gotta understand, this is perfect timing. This is like your perfect timing from God. We don't think it is because I'm having a miracle and I've still got an enemy on my heels. It's like it's all going to be collapsing in a second if they find out, if this happens, if I'm taken here or if these people do this. But the miracle is happening. But if God had said, look, I'll fix those chariots up before they even get out of Egypt. It wouldn't have been this kind of victory. You think it's about defeat. You're about to be defeated. But listen to me. It's going to backfire. The enemy is about to be defeated. God has let them in their arrogance and presumption follow them into the miracle. And now he's taken off their wheels. He's got mechanics down there. I don't know if you've ever met a mechanic angel. They've all got overalls on and they're down there, grease on their fingers. They're taking off these wheels. The chariots cannot go any further. It may have been the rocks that were all exposed and suddenly they're breaking all these wheels. But instantly the Egyptians recognized we're beaten. And so they started to flee. It's a beautiful day when the hunter becomes the hunted. When what you were fleeing from is gonna flee from you. Because you take up a stand and you say, no longer, no longer, baby. I am standing up against every onslaught of the enemy. And it is important that you do accept that the God who is for you and not against you is going to help you in the midst of your most difficult moments when it feels like you're going to be overwhelmed. The only people who are going to get overwhelmed there were the Egyptians by a collapsing Red Sea. And God was going to bury them in the middle of that sea. So it says in verse 25, he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea and the waters may come back on the Egyptians, on their chariots and their horsemen. And he stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. This is a picture of baptism. Your past is going to be buried. Whatever could catch up with you from your past gets buried. That old life gets buried. The old powers and forces that kept you as a slave, addicted, fixated, obsessing, all of those things that had you stuck, you are going to get unstuck. Say this, I'm going to get unstuck. You don't need to be stuck in a certain place in life any longer, thinking that that moment has dominion over you. Listen to me. Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead for some superstitious or religious effort. It was to have a powerful impact on every human on this earth, and that was to set you free from whatever has tried to kill you, take you out, steal from you. And I'm telling you, any plan that the enemy has on your life is going to backfire, and you're going to catch up everything that has been taken away from you. That's part of the covenant of the New Testament in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's all stand up as the musicians come.
Hey, everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.